Hello, this is Arian with a quick announcement. As you guys know, I'm taking my gap year right now, and I have decided to use that time to make a Dota 2 documentary, where I visit people all over the world and explore their relationship with Dota. So if you would be interested in participating in something like this, please head over to the WLD Twitter, that is @WeLikeDota, where you will find further information. Enjoy the show. Bye!
We Like Dota is brought to you by the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like CBX, RX Cowbell, Dank, Ye Old Raven, Dolly Koshef, Wisp, Mr. Fancy Pants, Bean Dob, Javier Latople, Icebug, Paul Bender, Paul Turner, Titus Andromedon, Zynison, Jeff Peterson, Nathan Johnson, Bunny Data, Bayluck, Digital Nick, Monster, and Spencer Pitzel. We Like Dota, episode 261. Oh no, I forgot to tell people how to become a patron. Hold on. If you want to become a patron.
No. You did it wrong.
If you want to become a patron, head over to our website at welikedota.com and follow the links to our Patreon. Now, episode 261 starts now.
Let's go!
Stop.
No, keep it. Keep it. Hello and welcome to We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Sam the Plaid Pirate, joined by Charlene. Thank you for that beautiful intro.
It was my first pancake. It came out okay. Well, hope that future pancakes are a little bit smoother and less burnt.
I've never heard that expression. I love
it.
What? Your first pancake.
Yeah, that your first pancake is always like kind of not like a perfect circle, comes out a little bit burnt, like test pancake. No?
I understand it. It's nice. I like it. Oh. I've never heard it though. It's good. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Very good. Yeah. On the other line, we've got Arian. Hello.
Hi. It's me.
It's you. Hello,
Hello
internet.
Arian.
Hi.
Very hype for your documentary.
Excited. Thank you. I hope it's going to be good. I'm going to be spending literally 100% of my net worth on the documentary, which is not a lot because I'm still pretty young.
Of your net worth?
Yes.
Wow.
How do you think I'm paying for this show?
Well, I thought you would have been doing it from like the income that you have now. You're setting aside some, but not like your net worth.
I mean, if I'm setting aside, it's my
okay.
Net worth. It's not a lot though. So, you know, I don't work that much right now.
Boy goes all in.
Always forward, never back. Where?
Yeah, exactly.
If somebody wanted to watch a video of your announcement, how would they do that?
They would be able to head over to our Twitter for the announcement video, and there you would also find a link to the Google form where you can reach out to me if you want to star in the documentary. And it really doesn't matter, like, if you, like, have a really exotic job and I one rank 100 NA, sure, reach out to me. But if you're like just a normal guy, also reach out to me, because I need people like the average Dota players for my narrative and the outliers. So don't be scared. Don't think like you're not exotic enough or something.
Will you be putting it in the Discord at all for our Discord homies to
probably
explore?
Yes. I will, after this episode, simultaneously with the airing of this episode, I'll make the Twitter post and put it into Discord.
Maybe in the announcements channel.
Maybe. That would be a very good idea, Sam. Thank you. I was going to put it into parenting, but now that you say it, I may put it in announcements.
Announcements. You're a big deal. Yeah. Charlene, happy Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you. Yes, happy Canadian Thanksgiving to you, too.
I don't know anything.
Can somebody explain to me what Thanksgiving is?
It's the same thing, except I think more accurate, because like harvest season is actually closer to being over mid-October than it is late November. But same idea where you like
the history of it is rooted in, like, First Nations people, I guess. I don't know. I'm talking out of my butt
so
here.
It's just a holiday for you?
It's just a holiday for
nice.
Being thankful and grateful for plentifulness, and I like it.
You don't know anything about the holiday, do you?
I just like it because it's there's friends and it's good.
Nice, true. Just like Christmas.
No, I don't like Christmas that much.
What?
You don't like the message of Christmas is all like conflated with just presents and gifts now. Whereas I think the message of Thanksgiving is
maybe
still
where
pure.
You live.
Oh, okay, probably. Consumerist market has
consumerist
tainted
Canada,
the waters.
Yeah.
Did you do anything special for Canadian Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Yesterday we had a Friendsgiving where we had some people over. We made some food, played some games, watched a movie. Just generally.
Did you have a turkey?
We did not have a turkey. We had
a turducken.
Nope. We were not fancy at all. We had a ham, which is like the easiest oven protein that you can make. And then we also bought a rotisserie chicken, like already cooked.
Very cool.
And we made Brussels sprout gratin and bacon wrapped asparagus.
Oh,
and
yes.
Mashed potatoes and bought some pie. A friend brought over apple crisp.
Oh, apple crisp. A good apple crisp. Mm. I just have to stop you for a sec. And I've never heard ham referred to as, what was it? Oven protein?
Yeah. was
I'm all in for that. Give me all the oven protein, please.
All the oven protein.
Yeah, we have to start putting our protein shakes into the oven, so it's oven protein.
Nothing better than a warm protein shake.
Are you going to have a turducken?
Me? No. My for Thanksgiving, I'm going to my grandma's house on Long Island, and we will have the traditional turkey protein, not the turducken. Are you? Do you like turducken? What is your fascination?
I've just learned of it. I am very fascinated with the affront to humanity that a turducken is. So now I just imagine like every American eating a turducken at Thanksgiving.
I see.
I've also heard of like deep fried turkey and like bacon wrapped turkey.
Yeah, so I believe
there
that
are many different flavors of affrontation. I don't know. Is there a noun form of that?
I think it's affrontation.
Yeah, okay. So don't limit yourself with just turducken.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, now that we have everybody's feelings on turducken, let's go over to Dota feelings.
Oh, yeah! Oh, look at it go!
Aaron.
Wow.
How do you like that, guys? That was pretty good, huh?
Was very smooth.
Dota feelings. Aaron, how was your week in Dota? How did it make you feel?
I have spent my week trying to expand my offlane hero pool and trying to find new heroes. Oh, first off, I calibrated.
Let's go.
I only lost 100 MMR, even though I went 7-3.
Nice.
So 7 wins, 3 losses. Which is, I was mad about losing MMR, even though I don't care that much. So I'm a Legend 3 player now.
Nice.
Which means I will have to claw my way back up to the Ancient bracket.
Well, I feel like all the badges got realigned again, right? Wasn't that what happened?
Yeah.
Was that before or after they did like the subtle redistribution?
Man, they change the matchmaking every day, so.
Okay, never mind.
I mean, we're going to talk about the matchmaking changes in Noobs Ask Noobs, but.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was trying to expand my offlane pool, and I've mostly played Nightstalker.
Yeah, like you did.
The flavor of the month, easy meta bullshit.
Night Stalker and Pudge are the bane of my existence right now.
Pudge? Yeah, Pudge is in every
There's
game.
So much Pudge. And there's like mid Pudge. I hate it.
Yeah, I also tried Morphling Position 3.
Morphling Position 3? How did that go?
Mm-hmm. So I theory crafted this myself, actually. So I had Nick, shout out to Scallionheart, host of the Ball Crow podcast. I had him play a 4 Earthshaker, and then I played 3 Morphling. And you go Faze, Vlads, Lotus Orb. Oh no, sorry, Faze, Vlads, Eggs, Lotus Orb. So the idea is that you go into a fight morphed strength, so you have like 4k HP or something. And then you also have the armor from Vlad and Faze, so you're really good against physical damage and like super tanky. And then you use your eggs to just become an Earthshaker.
I have a question though, hold on. When you turn into the Earthshaker, do you keep the strength that you had already before you shifted?
Okay. No, but when you get low on Earthshaker, you can shift back.
Okay.
So the idea is that you have Morphling's Q to initiate, and then you also have the E on strength, which is a 4-second stun, which is a lot of time to be stunned. And then also you have everything that Earthshaker does except ult. And since you have an axe, you get Earthshaker's axe. Which means that you have a like disgusting amount of reach. A lot of times during that game, like I was at my tier 1, and I spotted somebody at like in their jungle or something. And I just like used Morphling's Q, jump with Earthshaker, and then used Fissure. So like I can basically instantly stun people 3k range away from me. And then like jump on them. And it's really like, I felt like it was pretty good. Yes.
I know your intention is to stay strength morphed, but if you did Agimorph, could you enchant Totem and then switch back to Morphling, and will you still have the buff?
Yes, okay. I also did that. So
ooh.
I started Agimorphed, and then in the end, I mostly went to Strength. But the idea is that even when you're Strength morphed, you can still disable people.
So
yeah, that does like the thing you just mentioned, like that does like 1,200 physical damage.
Yeah, that's a lot of damage.
Yeah, that's a lot of damage.
So how did it go?
We won the game. I feel like I did pretty well. I went 6-3-5.
Very nice.
I could have been better, but I like choked 2 times and like morphed the wrong way. But you know, it's starting issues. I'm sure I'll figure that out. It's definitely interesting because in team fights it felt really good. Because once you're level 15, you get the 20-second morph duration. And then you have an axe. So it's almost impossible to win fights against that. Like, they had a sniper and a Venomancer, and they were just, like, perma-stunned. Because, like, how do you lose a fight with 2 Earthshakers? It's next to impossible, I think. Because, like, they can't do anything. They're just, there's 2 Fissures, and then there's this goddamn WX jumping around. Like, you can barely win a fight with 1 axe Earthshaker against you. And now there's 2.
Yeah.
Did you guys do, like, synchronized jumping?
No, we didn't.
Aww.
Yeah, we weren't that good, unfortunately. But it felt good. I'm not sure if it's, like, pickable and a really try-hard match, but I think it's worth investigating. And it's definitely fun and interesting, you know?
Very nice. Well, we played a game together, and I think it was one of your first games on Night Stalker as a 3. I played a 4 position.
Yeah.
I played a 4 position Lion. I thought you did well as Night Stalker. I think that hero kind of suits your playstyle of just running at people and making space and being kind of unkillable. I don't know.
Next to unkillable.
There were some moments where I thought you were just way too deep, and sometimes you were too deep, but there were moments where you just, like, went really deep, killed a support, and forced rotations.
And then died.
No, and then there were a couple times you juked away, which was really fun. You, like, flew over weird cliffs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know, the hero just feels busted still, even after the nerfs.
He seems like, strong.
There's not a lot of counterplay. I've talked about this in the past, but Nightstalker would be way more interesting as a hero without his ult, because then you would actually have to adjust and play around night and daytime. Now, it's just like, hey, cool, if it's nighttime, I'm stronger. But then if it's daytime, the enemy can't exploit it because you can just press ult and make it nighttime again.
Yeah, well, yeah. Despite that, we nearly lost. We won, though. We won, yeah. We played with an anti-mage, and he went Midas, right?
Yeah.
That sounds rough. That's
very odd.
He went Midas Battle Fury.
Oh, God, so. That guy, man. He had like a 20-minute Midas, and we just made so much space for him that he could play in the end.
If you want to call my feeding tactical, then I'll take it. It was a little rough.
You were distracting them, Sam.
That's right. Yes. I was distracting them. No, it was fun. I'm happy with my new PC.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's been good. I like playing Dota and I actually played some games with my team, which was also fun.
Ooh.
Tell me more about that. You guys practicing for your hats bracket?
Oh yeah, you betcha.
The hats bracket. Little league.
Little hat bracket.
Yeah.
It's you know, he's not wrong, and we enjoy it. It's gonna be good. We want to be paired up against our equals. Anyway, I play mid for them, which is terrible because I'm not a mid player. So it's been I asked some people for some tips, and everybody was very nice about
like me.
Yeah. So what was I played Kunkka, which was really fun in lane. And I actually got 2 solo kills in lane, which I was like very proud of because I hit my combo. But he's kind of a tricky hero in terms of like figuring out who to focus on in fights.
Yeah.
And the team we were playing had like a lot of mobile heroes like Weaver and Ember. So it was a tough game. But I'm excited to keep trying to figure out how to play mid. It's been a fun challenge.
Very cool.
Very nice. Charlene, how about you?
I am good. My Dota feelings are pretty good right now. I have also calibrated, thanks to the return of Bay to Dota a little bit.
Playing
some games together. And before I knew it, we had enough ranked games to get me calibrated. I think I am also Legend 2 or 3, somewhere in there.
God gamer.
Yeah. So that's fun. Yeah, but Dota's been good. I think once you like figure out that you should play it with people that you enjoy, that it just makes it better. Yeah.
It's the easiest advice to give and the hardest to follow.
Yeah. I think I forgot about that one night because I got lured into the just wanting to win. I ended up playing like 3 games that night, which is more than I've played in a single sitting for a while. And the final game, I played Enigma. I don't know why.
Oh, no.
And, like, we ended up winning the game, but it didn't feel like a win. I was just so, like, bitter and filled with Dota hatred because the game went long and it was, like, uphill battle the entire time. And I was grumpy because it was late and it was past my bedtime. And I forgot that I should just play Dota when I want to and with people that I... Not that the people I was playing with, I didn't want to. It was with Bay and Jim and one of Bay's friends from school. So, like, I enjoyed the people. It was just... I was playing under extreme circumstances because it was late and shouldn't have done that. But, yeah. Overall, I've been feeling really good about the game.
Did you get some good black holes, though?
I did. It was hard because I didn't end up getting a blink until rather late in the game. But there was one play when they were pushing high ground where I smoked TP to the shrine behind them. Jim was playing Warlock, so he dropped the rock, and they were like in that moment where they were stunned, I was able to walk up and land a really good black hole. And I think that was the turning point of the game, I want to say. So, yeah, shout out to Jim.
That sounds good. Fatal Bonds plus black hole sounds pretty devastating.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when we got our combos off, it was really good. But the rest of the game was painful. They had this Kid Voker who...
Kid Voker, man. Yeah, hate him.
Kid Voker, who was support. He was a 4. And he would just always have EMP up, which just drain all our mana. It was so annoying.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah.
Kid Voker, what a chump.
What a chump.
Smug kid.
Any updates on Habitat for Humanity?
I didn't go this past week because it was Thanksgiving. But other than that, I've been going and it's been really good. I really enjoy it. I think it's mostly just the like immediate shot of dopamine from like seeing the progress that I make in like a 5-hour span. So anytime I go, I just go on Saturdays from like 10 to 3. And even if it's just putting up a few something, like I can see clearly like, oh, when I came here, this wasn't here. And now this is here, which is very different from my job where it's hard to always appreciate the like end impact, I guess, or result, because with science it's always like, oh sure, you got here now, but now we have a new question or something like that. So it never feels quite like fulfilling in a way.
Just like Dota.
Just like Dota. Like even though you win that one game, you're like, yeah, but I'm still not divine. I'm still not immortal. So gotta keep playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good that it's fulfilling. I was in this segment of We Like Home Renovations. I was on my roof the other day trying to fix the leak in my garage. I think I did it. I think me and my buddy figured it out.
Did the possum come back?
Possum is not back.
Oh, man, that guy was so cute. Did we ever tell that story?
I don't think you guys did. Wait,
it was my last day in Pittsburgh. And Sam, just like me, Sam, and Adriana were grilling. And then this possum just went into his garage and refused to come out. And Adriana poked it with a stick, and it just didn't want to come out, even though it got poked with a stick, and then at some point it ran.
Oh my goodness.
Cool. Yeah.
It was very cute.
Was it fat?
It was a big, I thought it was pretty big, like long.
Yeah.
It was a big boy. Yeah, no possum. Sorry, everyone, for getting us distracted from the real news.
To read the future, I need entrails.
Dota 2 news, incoming hot. Aaron, take it away.
Yeah, first item on the news is that Sumail was... not kicked, but he left the Quincy crew, which was the CCNC, Yawa, Sumail, SVG, MSS deck. That's a lot of like 3 or 4-letter names. Yeah, they qualified for the minor, but Sumail decided to still leave. So he's not going to be playing in the minor, and the Quincy crew is looking for a new safe lane player. I think he played safe lane for them, yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad. I think that team, I wouldn't necessarily say I think they would be really good, but I think they could have a decent future as a like tier 2 team.
Yeah, I was kind of excited to see the brothers play together, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yawar and Sumail. That was hype, but now it wasn't supposed to be, Shelly. Feels bad. What do you think he's gonna do now?
Wait, what?
What do you think he's gonna do now? Because, like, the roster shuffles are kind of over.
I have no idea.
Like, there's no open slots.
He's like a lost puppy with nowhere to go.
Yeah, what's that? How do you call that game in America? We call it Reise nach Jerusalem, where, like, you dance around these chairs, and then when the music stops, you have to go on a chair. You call that musical chairs?
Musical
That's
chairs.
Not very imaginative. Yeah. So
so is Rise of Alcohol.
Good one. So it's like Tsumeo's like the kid who didn't get a chair now. Like all
well,
the chairs are...
It's like, no, the analogy is that Tsumeo had a chair and then got up and flipped his chair over and stormed out of the room. Like he could have just went to the minor. Like, what is he doing?
That's true, I guess. I would have played the minor if I was him. Maybe he didn't believe in his team, and I think it's clear at this point that he has a pretty big ego, so maybe he didn't want to be seen, like, underperforming.
Maybe, who knows? I don't know.
Well, he was on EG for so long. If he didn't want to be seen underperforming, he would have left EG earlier.
Got him.
Got him.
Okay, very good.
Very cool, very cool.
Should we talk about matchmaking?
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest news of the week, I feel like. So, the matchmaking update. A lot of changes. Updates, my bad. They made a lot of changes to matchmaking again. The first change is that instead of there being 7 stars, we're back to 5 stars. I don't know, that's pretty insignificant in my opinion. Also, they made it so that when you queue, it's not anymore... Like, let's say before the matchmaking changes, I queue for a match and I'm legend. Then if I might have an Archon mid laner and an Ancient mid laner on the other team, even though like the overall balance on the team still works out. And now after the changes, the people who are on like the same role in opposing teams will have roughly the same MMR.
That's a pretty big one, I think.
Yeah, that's very good for game quality. Mm-hmm. And then also, Divine and upwards, if you party queue with somebody, your whole team is going to be treated as the MMR of the highest player. So if like an Immortal 5 guy queues with a Divine stack, they're all going to be treated as Immortal 5 by the matchmaker. Same for Divine, which is a pretty huge change, I feel like. It just, like, killed solo queue for some friends. Like, I'm not good enough to be friends with Immortal players, but I imagine for some, like, high Divine players, it must really, like, suck to not be able to play good solo queue, party queue games anymore.
Yeah, but, well, they, like, had a pretty extensive explanation. They said that even though it'll affect that bracket, like, the overall should be better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was, like, they no longer just show your highest rank achieved.
Yeah.
They'll always show within the star.
Exactly.
So account buying now is a lot worse.
True. That's very good. That's very good. I like that. I didn't like... I mean, sure, it's nice, but I feel like it was worse than it did good.
Because, yeah, it's more accurate.
I don't really care
way.
if I drop a star or something.
Right.
And I mean, it didn't really matter anyway for matchmaking purposes, since the matchmaker looks at your MMR, not your badge. But still, it's a change, I guess. But it's more cosmetic than really like changing the matchmaking itself. And then also, they said some mysterious stuff about changing the core of the matchmaker experience. I'm really excited for that. it sounded very cool, even though they didn't really get into detail what
Valve
exactly they're going to do.
With the teaser.
Yeah. And the last change is if you sub 3,000 behavior score, you're muted. You're done.
Oh.
You can't say anything.
Get muted.
Yeah. Sam, are you happy about this?
I love it. Be nice.
If this were in Discord, it would have the little anvil emoticon underneath.
Yeah, I think it's a good change. I think those folks are still like definitely on the way outlier of the curve. I mean, if you have a 3,000 behavior score, it's for a reason. So hopefully that, you know, addresses it a bit.
Shoutouts to Valve for the communication, though. They're really stepping up their communication game. This is a really long and detailed blog post.
I know.
They really, I think they learned from Artifact. They're scared now. They're scared of, like, if they still try to act mischievous, that Dota's going to become another Artifact.
The other thing I'm excited for is, wasn't there a mention at the end of, like, introducing some new things for new players, like a new on-ramp?
Yeah. They said basically after they fixed the matchmaking to a place where they think it's good, they're going to start making a tutorial or something similar.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
What do you think about that, Charlene?
I have no thoughts. I don't know.
Don't care.
Sorry.
Don't care.
Not really.
Don't care. I'm not a new player. I don't care about anybody that's a new player. I think it's good. Dota has been lacking a tutorial.
Yeah. Like, it's so hard, I think. Because, like, the learning curve of Dota is always going to be so steep. So, like, when it actually comes out, and then I'll have thoughts. But, like, at the moment, I have no idea.
So you think it depends on the quality of the tutorial, if you
like
it.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I think even a bad tutorial is, as long as it's not like actively teaching new players to grief or something like that, then I think even a bad tutorial is better than no tutorial.
Anything they make has to be better than what we're working with right now. It's pretty bad right
now.
That's
true. Like, they didn't even bother in the learn tab on the training part, the four missing tabs after the last trainer. That's been unpopulated for, like, years, and they didn't bother to just, like, make the last hit trainer the only thing there. This is what we deal with on a daily basis. This game is in shambles.
Shambles.
All right. I think that's it for the news this week. It's a pretty slow news week yet again, but it's going to pick up once the major starts. I'm very excited for that. Also, patch. It's soon, I think. I think it's going to come out this week.
Whoa. Bold prediction. Okay.
Very bold prediction.
When's the major, everyone? Do we know?
Yeah, we know. It's in November somewhere. I think minor starts on the 5th to the 10th or something. And then, like, a week after that is the major.
Very nice.
Very cool.
Okay, let's do Hero of the Week.
All right.
You're tougher than Axe thought. Come along.
Feeding time.
Have a cookie.
Meepo. More Meepo.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
The hero of this week is Disruptor, the Stormcrafter.
Whose name is literally just Stormcrafter.
The Stormcrafter.
The Stormcrafter, yeah. Like, everyone else has cool names, like Nightstalker's Balinar, and...
Yo, are you telling me that Stormcrafter isn't a cool name, Charlene?
It's one of those, like, descriptor names. It's not, like, a name.
You don't know that. Maybe, like, the baby Disruptor was born and went like, wah! And his mom was like, yeah. I'm going to name him Stormcrafter.
It's like, if anything, it's super badass because it's mobstery. Because it's just like, oh yeah, this guy, I don't know any mobster names. But it's like very descriptive, right?
Big Angelo.
Yeah.
That's a mobster name.
There you go. Like, you got Big Angelo, who's presumably big, and now you have Stormcrafter, who crafts storms. So, if anything, I guess it gives him street cred. Okay.
I would have never thought that Stormcrafter is a mobster name.
Well, you think wrong. Got him.
Ah, okay. Got him.
So, all Disruptor. Right. He's been really popular recently. I don't even really know exactly why. I know a while ago they gave like a micro buff to his auto attack range. And I like the only other thing I can think is that Slark is meta right now, and that's about it. Like, he's really good against Slark. He can maybe go toe-to-toe with other more meta-y cores, kind of. Like, if he is not silenced by Nightstalker, he can help out his team by just sending him far away. I don't know. But anyways, I've been picking him up a lot and also been doing well with him. And I want to say that his strongness early, at least, comes from his good laning, which is Thunderstrike. Like, he can... So, oh, I have to go through his abilities first. So his Q is Thunderstrike, which is a little magical light bulb that you put over someone's head that will strike four times at 1 second intervals, or 2 second intervals, sorry. And it gives you vision of them, and it does damage per strike, and then also like a tiny bit of damage in an AoE. So it's like, if you just position yourself well in the laning phase, you can just like completely bully out, like auto attack first, eat a tango, thunder strike the enemy, put yourself in between them and the creep wave, and just like hit them with your auto attacks while your thunder strike is going, and you should maybe hopefully outtrade them, because it's like a good source of magical and physical damage from your auto attacks. Later on, if you pair it, pairs well with his other skills. I will get to them now. His W is Glimpse. This will teleport the enemy hero to where they were 4 seconds ago, and as you level it up, it increases your cast range. It has a delay time of several seconds. I'm trying to look up the exact...
4 seconds.
Okay. Yeah. It teleports them back to where they were 4 seconds ago. So I guess, like, yeah, from when you cast it, it takes 4 seconds to actually have the effect. And then... So you can actually pair this well with your Glimpse, because, you can pair this well with your Thunderstrike, because Thunderstrike will give you vision of that target. So even if they try to juke you or something, you can still glimpse them back. And if you get really awesome, after the second strike of, in between the second and third Thunderstrike, like, that's gonna be roughly where they were 4 seconds ago. So if you know where they were when you first cast your first Thunderstrike, and then it goes off two more times,
that's a good tip,
and then glimpse them back, like, that's, yeah, you'll know where they were. Glimpse itself will also show you where they will end up, but you can, like, kind of know beforehand where they would have been based on where you cast your Thunderstrike. And then all this again pairs well with his third skill, which is Kinetic Field. It makes a barrier that I think is not just coded as a cliff. It's like, you need magic immunity to get over it. You can't just, like, if you're a Slark, you can't pounce over it. If you're a Batrider, you can't just fly over it. So those kinds of slippery heroes are, it provides you a bit of CC for them, which is also kind of why I named Nightstalker, because Nightstalker is very mobile because he can just fly over things. And Kinetic Field, if you can manage to catch him without getting silenced by him, then it's somewhat useful against that. Minor tip, Kinetic Field gives you flying vision, so you can use it to help you deward hills and stuff like that. But yeah, if you pair this with your Thunderstrike, which you then glimpse them back, and you put a kinetic field around where they've been glimpsed, then you can trap them to set up for your final spell, which is Static Storm. So Disruptor's Ultimate is an AoE storm thing that he can place down, and it silences them. If he gets an Axe, it mutes them. So it's basically an AoE Doom when he gets an Axe. And the longer, I believe, I don't see the note here, but I think the longer they stand in it, the more damage they take?
The longer they stand in it, just
The Static Storm itself increases in power.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. You can pair everything together, trap them in your cage, and then Static Storm, and they're standing in there, and they're taking more damage as the Static Storm goes on longer, and they're silenced, and those are all his spells. Yeah. Talent Tree, generally in lane, you'll want to max out your Q. Depending on who you're on, if you're on a, like, very melee heavy core then you can probably get more points in your cage. If you're against someone who's more mobile, maybe you'll want to level up Glimpse. You can also just put a single point in both. It kind of covers you on all bases that way. And then for talents, at 10, you can either get health or Thunderstrike damage. I almost always go for the Thunderstrike damage. At 15, it's kinetic field or cast range. I pretty much always go cast range because kinetic field cooldown, unless it's a very melee team, I don't think I would go it. But it's kind of weird because at 25, I almost always go for the kinetic field duration. So
yeah.
It's kind of a toss-up. Like, you can figure out. I don't think that one is that important. You can choose what you want. At 20, GPM. Always GPM. Any hero with a GPM talent, you go for GPM. And then finally at 25, it's... the other 20 choices plus 4 Thunderstrike hits. Which is, like, at level 20, it's not that much extra damage.
Mm. Also, like, it's really good in theory, but in practice, it gets dispelled. In the late game, it mostly gets dispelled after, like, hit 2 or something.
Yeah. It's some damage-ish. It maybe gives you sight on people for longer if they don't happen to dispel it, but... Yeah, like, the gold is so much better because you're also at that point trying to think about how you're going to get your Axe or other big items. And then, 25 is either a minus 10 second glimpse cooldown, which is hilarious, but usually not practical. The other one is plus 4 seconds on kinetic field, which at that point in the game, BKBs are probably timing down, so it provides pretty good AoE crowd control. So that's Disruptor. Sam, hit us with the lore.
The lore.
Oh my god.
So Disruptor is a gifted young Stormcrafter who essentially...
So his mom really did just look at him and name him Stormcrafter. Okay.
So he's part of this civilization or like tribe called the Ogladi, and they live in this extremely like difficult terrain. Basically, they were once a great civilization and now they're just like scrapping together for their lives. And so he goes out and finds this, like, he goes, like, foraging through, like, old ruins and, like, all these weird places. And he finds this coil and he takes it and he adapts it and he uses it to increase his power. And it's, like, part magic, part craftsmanship. And so he becomes super powerful and he's super dope. And uses his stormcrafting abilities to protect his people.
Wow. Okay.
That's Disruptor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only have one thing to add before we get into itemization and why I think he's good right now.
Okay, yes,
his kinetic fields, you mentioned that you don't really know how it achieves the, like, you can't move anymore. It's not a physical barrier. It's coded like Grimstroke Leech. Yes, exactly. It sets your move speed to zero. So it's the same as Slark's Leash and Grimstroke's ult.
As soon as you said that, I remembered how it was played.
Yeah. Also, I think I have a theory why Disruptor is so good right now. And it kind of ties into how Dota is played right now.
Okay.
Because how Dota is played right now is like the laning phase is over after minute 7, and then you're just 5 men. And it doesn't really matter where you fight as long as you get the first hero dead, so he can't cast that spell anymore. Like, if it's 4v5, I'm going to fight under their tier 3 if I have to, just because it's so advantageous to be up a person. And I think what Disruptor does really well is that his kit, like, he glimpses somebody back into kinetic field and static storm, and you fight so early that they don't have BKB. So, like, you get, like, you kill a hero that way every time. So Disruptor's kit is good enough to win you every team fight, but it's not so good that it's like a Tide Hunter, where his cooldowns are so long that the enemy can just re-engage a second later and kill you all.
That's true. He does have very middle-of-the-road cooldowns.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, if his cooldowns were longer, his abilities could be stronger, but they're strong enough to win you a team fight. So it's very, like, in a good, efficient spot, which is why I think Disruptor is so good right now.
Okay.
How do we itemize this boy?
Mjolnir.
No. Lightning. No, you do not need Mjolnir. Let's see, I always go magic boots, mana boots on him. Magic stick, that's why I was starting to say magic. Magic stick early on, and then build that into a wand, and you get arcane boots. Break the boots into an aether lens. Because aether lens on top of your cast range, like, you can glimpse people from forever away.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a Bloodseeker who's, like, they just, like, had a team fight and he's super low and he's like, later, nerds, you're just like, nah, get back here. It's amazing. Force Staff, Glimmer, I don't know. He's a very, like, standard support build guy. Like, I don't think there's anything wild about him. You can go, like, go Scepter if they have a very physical, right-clicky enemy team instead of the Force Staff or Glimmer, but otherwise, I think that's it. And then, like, late game, you would get your Ags, maybe a Scythe, and then maybe Refresher. I don't think I've ever gotten that late in the game.
Seems fair. His Ags is super good. Like you said.
His Ags is really good. It's an AoE Doom. It's amazing.
Well, Doom goes through BKB, and it
that's
doesn't
true.
Go through
that's
BKB.
True.
But you but can make still. It so like, that they can't put
yeah,
on
can
it.
Make
use
it
BK, so. BKB.
It's pretty good.
It's super good. Especially since if they don't have BKBs, like, you can glimpse them and put your ult on the glimpse where it's going to be. So even though you waste some duration, there's, like, zero chance that they'll be able to BKB out of it or something.
Unless they BKB or glimpse.
Yeah, but most people think, like, most people are greedy and think they BKB after they're glimpsed, and then they just die.
Shall we move on to Noobs Ask Noobs?
Yeah.
Yes. Favorite segment.
Holy shit! If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is, always prepare for war!
Yes. Alright, Dora wants to know, when you're the big spoon, where do you put your bottom arm? And
I don't know what that, like, where the, like, between point between your midriff and your, like, bottom part of your body. It's like right under the ribcage.
So you bend your arm?
No, you don't bend it.
What? Okay.
Huh?
Huh?
I don't understand your body. You sound like you have a very long torso.
No, it's not long. Not my body. Like the... Where like your midriff connects to the bottom.
Yeah.
That's like between like that. Tummy. That's where you put the arm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I imagine that you are bent at the elbow then, because then your arm is like across your tummy, right?
Well, you don't have to like exactly line up.
Okay. Because otherwise your hand ends up by your leg.
It doesn't work that fine when you're lined up, but it works.
Okay, okay.
Charlene, any thoughts of where you put your bottom arm when you're the big spoon?
My bottom arm... I'm a pretty lazy big spoon. I don't, like, fully spoon. I kind of just, like, drape my arm over, and then I just end up being, like, on my stomach. So my bottom arm is actually off on the opposite side.
All right.
I'm a very lazy big spoon.
Okay.
Wow.
Damn. I don't know if you even consider that a spoon, to be honest. That sounds really like you just like lay next to somebody.
A selfish blanket. Jeez.
Sorry, bae.
Tough stuff for bae. Wow.
Really, jeez.
For me, I usually put my bottom arm up and under Adriana's head, so she uses it kind of like a pillow.
See, but I'm like a small spoon trying to assume duty big of the spoon big spoon because I'm smaller, so I can't. So like when I'm lined up, my face is at like shoulder height.
I guess that would make
some difficult. Maybe that's also why you can't put it not in the between the midriff.
Under the ribcage.
Maybe
we need diagrams for this.
Use your whiteboard, Arian. Make a video.
Yeah, I'll use my whiteboard. Next episode.
All right, next question from OG Ruby. Favorite food that you had growing up? Arian, let's start with you.
Osh. It's an Iranian dish, and in German, it translates to ass.
What?
Unfortunately, it's just the way it goes. Like, the Iranian word is osh, and it translates to... Well, it doesn't translate to. Like, just the phrase means ass in German. So... Every time, like, I was in middle school and somebody asked me, hey, what's your favorite dish? I just said ass, and they're like, what? And it's like noodles. And I think I've talked about this before.
Oh, this is the green thing.
Yeah, it's like noodles and about a bunch of herbs and vegetables. And it pretty much looks like vomit. And it's really delicious. Yeah, that was my
wonderful
favorite dish growing up. It's really good. It's really good. You have to try it someday.
Charlene, how about yourself?
I don't remember. I liked a lot of different foods, but it's really hard for me to pick out like a singular favorite food that I would have had. So,
just try for one that you enjoy. It doesn't have to be your favorite.
Something I enjoyed a lot as a kid. Unfortunately, I think I was kind of suffering from... like first generation Asian Americanness, where I really liked all the food that my mom would make me, but I was embarrassed to bring this like Chinese food, like home cooked with love Chinese food for lunch and stuff every day. So unfortunately, I would always really get excited when I got to not have that. So anytime we went on field trips, we would have to bring like sandwiches or brown bag lunches because there were no microwaves. And my mom would make me scrambled egg with like hot dog bits cooked into them. and make that as a sandwich. And I always really looked forward to that because it was just so different from my normal lunches. So I'll go with that.
That's not something that I would have thought to put on a sandwich or even into eggs.
It's pretty different.
But you liked it. It's good. It's good times.
Yeah. Mm.
I would be afraid that it would get soggy.
It was okay. I think my mom would always like let it cool before she put it on the like into the sandwich, so there was no like steam coming off from the egg to make it soggy.
Next level plays. Very good. Mm-hmm. For me, my mom still makes this breaded chicken just like pretty traditional like Italian American dish with like, you know, red sauce. I still love eating that. That's my favorite. So
very cool.
So savory, so good. Okay. Alkaloids wants to know how do I not die as a carry when my support pulls? How aggressively do I need to back off? I tend to try to get a CS or two as my wave is dying, but then often get chased down and killed. Should I just stay within experience range, or should I just wait under my tower for the pull enemy creeps to arrive?
I think that just depends on your like situational awareness. If they have a kill lane, so like two stuns or something, then you'll have to back up very far. But if you think you can react as a responsibly, like, and like you're not like right at their tower, and you think you can notice a bit in advance when they're going for the kill, so like the support starts positioning sneakily or something like that, then I think in some situations it's even okay to like just keep CSing, because pulling doesn't take that long. It's like 10 seconds if you have a good support.
Yeah, I agree with Arian. I
don't think there's like a one fits all answer for this. In doubt, always go back, because it's better missing 4 CS than dying.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I have been noticing in Bay's play more recently is that he's really good about drawing creep aggro. So anytime I go and pull, he'll make it a point to aggro the creeps, which you do by when you're in range of the creeps, you attack the enemy hero, and then the creeps will then try to attack you. So once they're attacking you, you can actually like walk back towards your tower a bit. So while you're your support is pulling for you, you can try to like better position yourself in that way. If you're comfortable. If you're not comfortable, better to just play it safe for now. Or push your boundaries, actually, because then you'll learn what your limits are. Yeah.
Yeah, seems like good advice. Mm-hmm. Okay, last one here from Monster. Which Dota 2 heroes are vegan? Who are our vegan heroes?
I think it's Nature's Prophet.
Yeah, I agree with that. He also looks like he has like no teeth.
Yeah, so exactly.
Even if he didn't want to be vegan, yeah, I don't know if he could like chew through.
Man, Nature Prophet looks so odd. Like, what even is he?
He's like a frog face.
Yeah, his face looks so cool. Like, I think he looks cute. I think a hero who pretends she's vegan is Enchantress. I think Enchantress like pretends she's vegan, but then secretly like she eats like a raw bloody liver or something.
What?
She's psycho.
I see that. Yeah, I agree.
She's so psycho. She's exactly the type.
I want to say like some hipster hero. Is Invoker a hipster hero?
Nah, I think Invoker eats meat.
Invoker's definitely a vegan.
No way.
Yeah, he's like know, guys, like, it's really, really beneficial. I can't believe you heathens are eating meat, you uncivilized swine.
Actually, yeah, true.
Yeah.
It's more of a status thing rather than, like, a truly held belief.
Mm. For Invoker, yeah.
Yeah, for Invoker.
Man, imagine you, like, just a, like, little centaur creep chilling in the jungle with your two babies, and then Enchantress comes and like, hey, you wanna come with me fight some? You're like, yeah! And then, like, you go, like, 1k units away from your camp, and then she, like, stabs you and eats you. Jesus.
Yes.
Interesting. Solid roleplay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or anything we want to do before we get out of here?
Nah, I think I'm good. If remember the documentary, guys. Check out the Twitter if you want to participate. Even if you don't, it helps to share that Twitter tweet, to get the word out.
Very cool. Check out the announcements page in Discord for other Aryan-related documentary news. Should be good.
Very cool.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next week, as long as our editor remembers to...
Dude. Oh. Jesus, the flame. I forgot.
Get him, Sam.
Yikes.
Good help is hard to find. We missed you, Bob. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.